was just great being able to have a discussion about basketball issues in the context of a playoff series. And there's no one better to do that with than Matt Devlin, who is the Raptors play-by-play voice in Sportsnet. Matt, thank you for doing this.
Anytime. You know that, Jeff.
I ran into a couple of people yesterday, and they were talking about the Raptors. There's a lot of consternation, obviously, after the way that first game went. But I was trying to tell people, this is the deal, right? You got a team in the playoffs. You're going to have these debates. You're going to have these discussions. I love it. I mean, I'd rather be doing this than discussing who they're going to pick in the draft, you know?
I completely agree. I mean, I think that's what the evolution of the game, you know, in this city leads you to. And I think that that's a positive. And for, you know, the Raptor fans out there, I mean, we understand, we've talked about it so often, how great they are. And when you have a fan base, you know, like the Raptors have, and everybody in North America knows how great they are. I mean, Paul Pierce, how many times can Paul Pierce talk about what a tough environment it is and how much he loves playing in front of the fans here, despite, you know, everything that they call him. And he, you know, seems to always rise to the occasion. But when you have that sort of environment, you know, it's going to lead to, you know, breaking down a game in every second of a game. And that's what playoff basketball, it's what playoff hockey, it's what playoff baseball, it's what the, you know, playoffs in the NFL, that's what that's about, is to break down every moment, you know, of a game, every decision that was made. And that's what makes it great.
Matt, where do you stand in this whole, the issue around James Johnson, if in fact there is an issue? I mean, clearly it's you know, it's the hobby horse for the fan base right now, right? And look, and I admit, I'm one of those people, and Matt, I think we talked about this at times. We looked back at last year's series, and we thought, what's kind of the one thing they missed? Well, I think for much of this year, we thought James Johnson was the thing they were missing. Hell, maybe James Johnson was the it Paul Pierce was talking about, you know, and the guy can't get on the floor in the playoffs. Am I missing something here? Is there something going on that we didn't, you know, that we're just not recognizing as fans or media?
Well, I think that, and Dwayne Casey has talked about this, it always, to him, becomes a matchup scenario as to why he uses James or he doesn't. Now, all of us know that, you know, one of the reasons why they went out and brought in James last summer was because of what happened in the postseason last year with Joe Johnson and Paul Pierce against, you know, the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, the interesting thing was that while Paul Pierce wasn't used at the four during the regular season, it was something that Randy Whitman and Paul Pierce sat down and talked about. And Randy Whitman spoke to, you know, Paul about what exactly they did last year to beat the Toronto Raptors in the first round of the playoffs. And they kind of went through the game plan that they used a year ago. And so, you know, what happened? Well, they used Paul Pierce at the four. Now, Paul Pierce in the first half at the four really got them going, specifically in the second quarter. The Raptors turned around and went on a 16-3 run in the second half with, you know, him at the four. However, utilizing him at the four did change certainly the matchups on the floor. And I think a lot of fans looked around and said, well, geez, isn't that why James Johnson was brought in? But clearly, you know, Dwayne Casey didn't feel as though he needed to utilize him in game one. It's going to be interesting tonight because I think Washington sits back and says, okay, they have James Johnson. You know, why didn't they use him in game one? Well, more than likely, they're going to use him here in game two. Well, Washington is sitting there saying, well, we didn't use Chris Humphreys in game one. You know, we have him in our back pocket, you know, and he can play the four, and he's energetic, can get on the glass. So it'll be interesting. You know, the chess match continues.
And it's not just, you know, I know Eric Smith and other people have made this point. It's not just, I mean, James Johnson isn't the reason, or the lack of James Johnson isn't the reason, I don't think, that they necessarily lost that game.
No. You know, look, there's a lot of reasons why. You know, everybody points certainly to, you know, 19 offensive rebounds. We can talk about the starting backcourt and what they shot, and talking to the players, they look around to themselves and say, you know, how many nights DeMar, Kyle, and Lou are going to shoot what they shot in game one. But on the flip side, Washington is going to sit there and say, well, okay, the starting backcourt for the Raptors went 8 of 30. Well, our starting backcourt went 11-41, and we came away with a victory. I think the big thing was that John Wall only had one turnover, and he turns the ball over at a high rate, nearly four a game. And they weren't able, the Raptors, to really dictate the tempo and the pace. Raptors, statistically speaking, from an analytics standpoint, Jeff, their pace is not off the charts. Mm-hmm. However, they do have a tempo where they can get out and go. And while their pace of play, quote-unquote, analytically speaking, isn't, you know, in the top half of the league, when they do get out and play with pace and tempo, it's to their benefit. And certainly against a team like Washington, it's extremely beneficial. And why? Because Washington has the fifth best defensive rating in the NBA. You do not want to play them in the half court. You would prefer to push it and get some easy buckets. And that, to me, is really the key for the Raptors. What can you get in early offense? Defensively, get a turnover. Can you get out and go? When you get a rebound, and this is why rebounding is so important, when you get a rebound and you see Dwayne Casey urging his team to go, 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 and it wasn't just Kyle, but it's DeMar, it's Lou, everybody, let's get out and go, because it's easier to get the shots that you want when Washington is scrambling defensively than it is when they're locked down. And that's, you know, John Wall talked about this, Jeff. Hey, I got to lock down on Kyle Lowry because he's a catalyst for that team, and he was able to do that.
And, you know, beyond that, I think one of the issues going into this series, a lot of people talked about, and certainly Dwayne Casey talked about, was the Raptors were going to have to do a better job in the pick and roll coverage against Washington, because Washington lives and dies off that. And Dwayne Casey's just, he's clearly not very happy with what he's seen so far.
Well, it's why Jonas Valanciunas, you know, doesn't play a ton of minutes. You know, it's, you go back to game one, 24 minutes. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, he feels, Dwayne Casey feels more comfortable with Patrick Patterson and Amir Johnson in that situation. I mean, it's been that way throughout the entire season, and I don't foresee it changing, you know, now. And I think that that's one of the things that, if you're around any professional sport, things typically don't change a ton when you get to the playoffs as far as the demeanor of a team. And if you've done something now for 82 games, yes, there are different things that you can now kind of bring into play. Prime example, Washington with Paul Pierce sliding him to the four. But as far as the comfort level of a coach, and that's different because Paul Pierce is, you know, future Hall of Famer, 2008, you know, NBA champion, and has 30% of the playoff experience on the Washington roster. But if you're Dwayne Casey, if you felt comfortable now for 82 games with Patterson and Amir Johnson in pick and roll coverage, you're going to continue to go down, you know, that line, unless Jonas is showing you something early in the game that's going to allow you to say, okay, I feel comfortable with him on the floor.
In conversation with Matt Devlin on the Jeff Blair Show, Lou Williams wins the Sixth Man of the Year award yesterday, justly deserved, I think we'd all say. Matt, what do the Raptors do with him?
That's a great question. I think a lot of it depends upon what transpires, you know, during the postseason. You know, I think there'll be some other teams that are going to be out there and are going to be interested. And I think a lot of it depends upon what ultimately the long-term vision, you know, is of, you know, Masai Ujiri and what he, you know, views, you know, the value of Lou Williams is and how much they want to, you know, spend on Lou, because, you know, remember, they do have a lot of cap space coming off the books next year. So it's going to be, to me, it's a very intriguing summer for the Toronto Raptors. And I think, you know, some of it's going to be dictated upon what transpires here, you know, over the course of the next, you know, potentially six games and maybe longer.
Yeah. Is at what point, and I guess, you know, Masai Ujiri can probably answer this a little better, but at what point does a sixth man stop being good value for his money? You know, that's kind of the issue, isn't it?
Well, sure. Because, you know, if you look at the recent history outside of Jamal Crawford, but a James Harden wins a sixth man of the year. And then of course he evolves into, you know, a starter and MVP candidate. Well, that's different for Lou Williams. Lou Williams is 28 years of age. This is his first healthy season now in the last, you know, three seasons. And, you know, for him, you know, he understands this is who he is as a player. He's changed his game. He's, you know, taken more threes, made more threes. He, you know, led the league on fouls drawn, on jump shots, as we've all, you know, noted throughout the course of the season. How many times did he get to the free throw line? So, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, how that all, you know, evolves over the course of the summertime. Because then if you look back to this season and you go back to, you know, a season ago, how many times did we see Vasquez and Lowry have so much success, right, together playing on the court? And we've seen it at times this year. But with Lou's presence, you know, that takes a little bit away from Gravis Vasquez and the minutes there and, you know, also, you know, what he brings to the table. So it's a balancing act with, you know, Lou Williams, and they've done a great job up to this point. And then you have Vasquez, who also kind of brings a different sort of component to it. He obviously plays the one, but we've seen Lou Williams play the one as well. So it's certainly, there are options for the Raptors as it comes to Lou Williams and what they want to do long term with him.